we're talking about how to break free from oppression, really. Mm-hmm. How to break free from the devil just causing things to happen sometimes repetitively,
yes,
over generations in a family.
Yes.
And one thing we really wanted to reiterate is we know that the Word of God says that He no longer passes the sins that the father have committed onto the children, but there's still the wages of sin out there. Mm-hmm. There's still the enemy's attack on a family. The mindset of a family sometimes doesn't change for generations, mm-hmm, you know, and those mindsets sometimes allow the enemy to rule and reign, especially when Christ is not right there. So Revelation 22, verses 2 through 4, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but there's just a part of this verse that so excited me that we talked about a little bit ago. It says that at the end, like once we're in heaven and with God forever, there will no longer exist. This is verse 3. There will no longer exist anything that is cursed because sin and illness and death are gone. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And His bondservants will serve and worship Him. So we know that just explains totally right there that really the curse comes because of sin.
Right.
And all curses are broken once sin is dealt with.
Right.
And something powerful that you'll talk about in a little bit is the way to really break the curse of sin off of us totally is repentance.
It is. It's number one.
Repentance is huge. You want to touch on that just a little bit without opening up the whole
thing? I'll try. I think that it talks about in Leviticus and in Nehemiah about how to repent to the Lord, confess your sins, and then also confess the sins of your fathers and your, mm-hmm, ancestors, mm-hmm, right? So it's clearly a commandment, but I think part of that is repenting of it means you're acknowledging it,
yes,
right?
Yes,
you're acknowledging, yes, it. So now I have an acknowledgement, which means I have a knowledge that I've been in sin,
mm-hmm,
and now I'm held accountable.
Yeah.
And then repenting washes me clean. That's, yeah, the instantaneous part of repentance, mm-hmm, is that He died on the cross, He took it all.
Yes.
And so as soon as we repent, we're free.
Yes.
It's really that simple.
Yes.
I mean, there's some renewing and some other things as well, but just repenting and saying, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm,
for the things that I've done knowingly, unknowingly,
yeah,
and the things my father and my ancestors have done as,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and something I'm learning as we're now studying walking in the likeness of Christ is this, that the more I try to assume the responsibility and role of what the Word says, that as Christ was in this earth, so am I, it really highlights my sin. Big time.
I know, the feeling.
It shows me how short I've come.
Yeah.
But I thank God for His grace. And as long as that I remain in Him, then I'm a new creation.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit ago about how so many Christians right now, they're trying to add Christ to their flesh life, their carnal life. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work that way. We have
right
to totally die to ourselves. So, mm-hmm, that being said, ignorance and sin, then, are the two things that must be reconciled to stop the destructive patterns established in a family that can cause them to be cursed. So, generational curses are not so much things that are passed down, but passed on.
Right.
It's because I've got the same mindset that my dad had and his dad had.
Mm-hmm.
And this mindset is outside of Christ.
Right.
This mindset does not acknowledge Christ in a specific area.
Mm-hmm.
And in this area of darkness creates a space for the enemy to operate,
right,
and put me in bondage.
Yes, yes.
So ignorance and sin are some things that really do have to be dealt with at that time. So we are going to continue. You might have to just flip this phone. You might see the phone flip around a little bit. We got some difficulties going on. I know it's kind of hard to watch. So we might to move, but just keep listening. If you got to close your eyes, if it makes you dizzy or bothers you that the phone's going to move momentarily, just continue to listen. So we're trying to get rid of ignorance and sin to break the curses that might be active in our life, because the wages of sin is death.
Right.
And it doesn't always mean that death to our body, but Jody, things around us dying. Hope dying, marriage is dying, relationships dying.
Joy, peace, individually. There's, it's multifaceted.
Yeah.
It's death of anything of life. It's yes. the opposite of life.
Yes, exactly. So we really need to make sure that we deal with for a minute. And it's good. It's all fun. Read Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. And I'm going to help out.
Okay.
And we're just going to keep moving.
So Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith." I think it needs to be said to me. Because it says that he's rescued us. So as we're talking about, very clear, I think Damien would agree with me, is we want to make sure that we're talking about the curses, we're identifying what the problem is, but there is hope on the other side of this.
Amen.
And I believe that that's, to me, that's what that scripture reads, is that he's rescued us. He was hung on the cross for the things that, for our wrongdoing from now until forever. Thank the Lord, and that it's just a reminder that through Jesus Christ, we don't have to be cursed any longer.
Amen. He is the one that has brought us freedom. He is the one that has brought us redemption. And we have to be able to pray to him, which you did, and we'll get into a little bit, about any areas of strongholds that we have in our lives, just these repeated failures, mm-hmm. this repeated falling short, you know, this repeated just not being able to go further than one specific point,
mm-hmm.
we need to say, God, what is this?
Yes.
You know, and you talked about earlier how sometimes we just get into this mode where we just are trying to pray ourselves through a thing, but sometimes it takes more than just our prayer from our intellect. We truly need a revelation.
Yeah, well, that revelation is the key, because we can pray, God, bring blessings to my life. You know, God, I need a breakthrough.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've heard that or I've
yeah.
said it.
Yeah.
God, I need a breakthrough. But we have to recognize what it is, why it is that we can't get any further, why we can't gain any ground. Is it that generational curse? Is it a generational familiar spirit that's mm-hmm. in your family? Which the sins and iniquities are just patterns, and they're habits
mm-hmm.
that we sometimes don't even realize are a sin or
mm-hmm.
or an iniquity. But it's recognizing what it is, and then it's just giving it over to God and letting him take care of it from that point. But yeah, I would agree with you. It's definitely the beginning start is repentance. That's
yes,
the number one key.
It is. Want to continue to say hello to some folks that are watching. Thank you for your patience with some technical difficulties that we've had. But this is a message that was supposed to be fought tonight. I know the devil's
right.
mad about you hearing this message tonight, because there's so much freedom that will come. No interruption in the internet or anything like that, because you're going to hear some. Do you know him?
I've heard of him as well.
Yes,
yeah.
He is tuning in tonight. Allison Jones, God bless you. Alex Townsend and Barb Townsend. So we're so excited that you all have tuned in. We're talking about how to break bondages, how to break curses in our life, even after being a believer. There are some times
right.
that we are going to have a fight and a struggle, and sometimes those forces are going to be demonic forces that are set against us, because the enemy just doesn't leave you alone because you became a Christian. We become
right.
a bigger target.
Right.
In Ephesians 6, of wickedness in heavenly and supernatural places. So these are our enemies, and this is where the curses come from the devil.
One, listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess. Exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, which is Satan, and nothing in any way can harm you. That's so powerful. I love that. I just love it, because there's part of the hope as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have hope in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. Once we repent, and there's still some things and activities that maybe we're not aware of, we have authority through Jesus Christ over
yeah.
all of it.
And we talked about, Jody, that even though our sins are forgiven and how he's the Lord of our lives and we've been given this authority, that the enemy can still have strongholds in our life through ignorance.
Yeah.
So, for example, as a police officer, I have the authority to arrest a thief. But if I don't know where the thief is, or if I can't catch the thief, my authority does nothing because my ignorance is blocking my authority from working.
Right.
So that's why Jody was saying earlier that it's so important that we pray and ask God for revelation where the strongholds are so that God can break us free through allowing us to then exercise our authority. Yes. So that's very important. Now, we're going to talk about patterns as well. And just to know that sometimes the reason that these curses remain on our lives, these strongholds on our lives, is because not because they've been passed down through our bloodline per se, but there's been some patterns in our family history to where we've seen dad was a yeller, or mom was a drinker, or dad was a gambler, or my grandfather was violent, you know, and I saw that. I was exposed to that. So I didn't inherit it through the blood or anything spiritual, but it became common to me, and it was a pattern. Can you touch on that just a little bit?
I can speak a little bit about my personal life with the women in the family, and I shared that Saturday night, but especially like in an abusive atmosphere, we'll say, it becomes the new norm for children or even for adults. We just adapt, you know, that becomes our normal. And in whatever the situation or whatever the stronghold is, it becomes a normal. And so we really just, it just becomes the new normal for us. So we don't really, for me, it was thought patterns. It was negative talk. It was through the power of the tongue. It was things that, you know, you don't realize how much damage is being done or that you're doing. And then your children are watching you as well. And that's how that gets passed on. But I think I just particularly think of in abusive areas, you know, I think I shared with you a little bit earlier about how as women in this family, because of some of the things we've been through, we wore it as a badge of honor. Like we're strong women, we're independent. When God didn't originally plan for us to be that way, He didn't originally plan for somebody to carry those strongholds because in all reality, we can't. That's why there's physical manifestations that come out of illnesses and autoimmune disease a lot in women. Again, I'm just relating to you know, particularly in my family, cancer. From bitterness and the root of some of the things that we're hanging on to that we're like, well, we did it because we're strong and we're independent women. God's like, I didn't originally design you to be that way.
Yeah.
And that's where those curses come in, the longevity of all this line of care business by themselves. But God, in all reality, God's like, I created that so that you could pass that on to me so that I could carry the load. You repent of the sin. Mm-hmm. You renew your mind daily. Quit the negative patterns of talk. Quit the negative patterns of thinking and so on and so forth, whatever relate. But for me, it just became a norm. And that's where the ignorance set in, because I didn't even realize some of the things that I was doing was not, it was not what God wanted or intended.
And that's a powerful truth that I received from what you just said is this, that it can become curses.
Yes.
Because they're blessed.
So true.
And then our family sees that we carry these things and they think that it's normal to be depressed, normal to be addicted, normal to us. And what's the curse? Death, sin and death. My joy, like you said, my joy is gone. My peace is gone.
Yeah.
And so that's what, when we say curse, we're not talking about voodoo curses and, you know, all that kind of stuff. What we're really talking about is the opposite of blessing.
That's it. It's the opposite of blessing.
The opposite of living the blessed life is having these curses active in us. So we thank God that He has told us that in Romans 12, it says this: therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And here's the key, Jody, conform to the pattern of this world. Why is that? Because if we copy the pattern, we get the same result.
Right.
If my father's pattern was sinful and he was cursed because of it, because of the sin and death that it brought to him, and I follow his pattern, then I receive that. And it's not even about generational sometimes. It could just be associate. I could be associated to a neighbor or a friend who's in this bondage, and through our common unity, you know, he's like, hey, come over for a few beers or a few shots of whiskey after work with me. It's the way I relax. So I start coming over there, and that opens up my spirit to this bondage, because that's bondage. You shouldn't have to do anything. The Bible says, be not full of wine, but be full of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so alcohol is not something that should be helping us cope. Mm-hmm. That's what Christ is for. Mm-hmm. And I'm just talking about the addictive behavior, sure, and the addictive qualities, mm-hmm, behind that. So it goes on to say this, and then we're going to go into your testimony. Okay. It goes on to say this, but be transformed. So Jody, isn't that the curse breaker right there?
Yeah.
Transformation?
Yes, because I don't walk and talk like the old Jody or like what I've been shown before, mm-hmm, which I love how you're going to go into this, but I'd say in the likeness of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the transformation. You're even your thoughts and your, you have to like think about it all the time, but just as God is transforming you, I can remember when I gave up alcohol, like particularly, there wasn't like a day where I'm like, that's it, I'm done, I'm not drinking any longer. It was, I had made the decision to follow Christ. That was the decision. The decision wasn't to put the alcohol down.
Yeah.
The decision was to follow Christ. The more I saw after him, the more I pressed into him. Through the beginning part of that, I was still drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, I think it was my brother-in-law said to my sister one day, he's like, Jody doesn't, she don't drink anymore. Like, I just noticed that she doesn't really, you know, do that no more.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said it to me, it had been months, and I thought, oh, I haven't,
yes,
you know, things break off of you in the spirit because,
yeah,
you're going after the spirit. They,
yes,
break off of you. And sometimes you don't even realize,
yes,
it, but that's the beauty in it all. It doesn't have to be in your own strength.
Thank you.
I mean, that was really the beauty of it all, was that,
yeah,
I looked back and was like, it really has been months and I haven't picked up an,
yes,
alcoholic beverage,
yes,
and didn't even realize it because, you know what? My mind and my spirit was so focused on the things of God,
mm-hmm,
and I just wanted to do right by him, but I didn't have to do it on my own strength. I didn't have to sit there and look at that glass of whiskey and think, I can't have this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I was still having it,
mm-hmm,
through the beginning parts of that. I was seeking him with everything I had.
Amen.
And then next thing you know, you wake up and you're like, wow. It's gone.
Yeah.
He changes the desires of your heart.
Yes.
Just beautiful.
Yes. And I hope you guys heard what she just said about not being able to break them. Because these patterns are powerful. They are these strongholds and these mindsets. And the Word of God tells us that apart from Christ, we can do nothing.
That's right.
The Word of God tells us that through Christ, only through Christ can we do all things.
Yes. Yeah.
So we need to begin to understand that we can't break these things off of us, and they're generational patterns more than they are curses.
Yeah.
Because it's the pattern, the sin pattern, that brings the curse.
Mm-hmm.
Because the opposite of curses are blessings.
Right.
And what brings blessings? I mean, how do we receive the blessings of God? Through righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God says those that who are willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land.
Yeah.
Very important. So finishing that verse, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what was happening to Jody as she pursued Christ and as she stopped looking at the pattern of the world,
right?
It's hard to stop drinking if you still keep going to the bar every night.
Right.
And why is that? It's because the pattern that I'm seeing, the image that I'm seeing is this. And whatever I am beholding, I'm becoming more and more like.
Mm-hmm.
But when you step away from that,
mm-hmm,
and you allow the Spirit of God to transform you by the renewing of your mind, where God begins to give us this deliverance, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got patterns versus perfect will.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep in the sinful patterns, we'll never reach God's perfect will. Because the only way to be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Right.
So Jody, let's hop into your testimony then.
Okay.
Because through you and for you, to where God just renewed your mind about something and helped you to progress into his perfect will.
Yeah. It started in my living room last Saturday with my mom and my sister, and there had been some family things going on, and the actual issue or the situation was a repeated issue in our family for years. And as it came up, we just knew we needed to sit down and talk about it, but I didn't want it to be like any other family meeting we had in the years past where, you know, we're accusing somebody else. It's your fault. You need to get yourself right. Holy Spirit told me before they even walked in, he goes, you you need to pray about what you're doing in this situation and how we can fix that. And I was like, well, I haven't done nothing, right? Mm-hmm. But as we sat and we talked, at first it was a little like I thought, this isn't going to go anywhere. I think because I heard repeated statements, I heard repeated excuses, repeated justifications, and I thought, this isn't going to work. I don't think we're going to get anywhere. But as I was just praying in Holy Ghost under my breath there for a little while, then Holy Spirit began to move, and next thing I know, I was saying things that I didn't even know that, I mean, I did not know them. They came straight from Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is an iniquity. This is a spirit of Leviathan in your family. Mm-hmm. And this is over the lineage of your family. And that particular spirit is it's a principality. It's very, very strong. And it talks about cutting the head off of it. Mm-hmm. You can't pull it out by a hook. There's different things, you know, you can't do, but it's cutting its head off. And I just, as Holy Spirit was working through me, I said, we need to each individually right now repent of what we have allowed to work in this family and work through our tongue and through our words. We need to repent of that right away. And we each individually repented, but we had to ask Holy Spirit, where did that come in at? Because there's wounds, right? Mm-hmm. And so not to get too much into that, but we just prayed and we allowed Holy Spirit to move. And then each of us just asked Holy Spirit, where did this come in my life? In particularly, and say it out loud. Mm-hmm. And things from my past divorce came up. Things from Daylan when she was little came up with my father and my mother getting divorced. Mm-hmm. My mother started to talk about things from her divorce. And we love being transparent because we want people to know this is real life. Mm-hmm. And it may not particularly go with what you're dealing with, but we serve a really big God, but there is a really big enemy out there as well, mm-hmm. right? And so as we were praying, Holy Spirit was showing us those things. We said we were sorry. We just started praying, and the next thing I know, we could just feel it break off of our family. We just knew. But God told me, he said, you know, David, I love what you say about rest. I mean, it has literally been a life changer for me when you came to our Bible study, and I live by that. So the revelation was, there's an issue not just with the one person you're coming at. There's an issue with this entire family. Mm-hmm. And it is a demonic entity that's doing this. Mm-hmm. And it is a generational bypassing or generational passing down of where, or passing on, mm-hmm. where it's your conversation, it's your thought process, it's so many different things. So once we identified it, mm-hmm. then we could put a target on it, and then we could repent of it, and then we could move from there. So that was the revelation. He gave us the empowerment by, honestly, for us, it was just simply asking Holy Spirit, what is this? How did this come in? Mm-hmm. And that's where he just took over. And then he empowered my thought process to tell me, hey, you're going to repent. This is what you're going to do. That's where the strategy came in. Yeah. And then by the end of the day, it was like a 3-hour session, mm-hmm. but we had triumph. At the end, we were hugging each other. We were saying things. There was a dialogue that was completely different at the end of that family meeting than has ever taken place. Mm-hmm. The words, I love you, hugging, saying, let's hold each other accountable. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that our conversations are uplifting and we're saying things in love and life and we're not tearing down others in this family. Mm-hmm. It was like nothing I've ever done before because we just simply invited Holy Spirit into that. And he gave us the revelation, the empowerment, the strategy, what to do in that moment. And then we had triumph.
Wow.
It was amazing. It changed my life forever. And I believe it's changed my family's life. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he showed me was that spirit of Leviathan, it was over our entire family. So you and I particularly say women. But all the women just like standing underneath this alligator-like spirit, demonic spirit. And he said, you need to step out from underneath that spirit and step into my lineage. Mm-hmm. My lineage, my blood is white as snow. It's pure. Mm-hmm. You're stepping out of that lineage and you're walking into my lineage. And now your blood is my blood. Mm-hmm. And you no longer have to be underneath that lineage any longer. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful what he gave me in that moment through Holy Spirit because I'd never seen it like that before. I'd never even understand. And I didn't even understand that I was doing it as well. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. There was a lot of ignorance there. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he brought it to my attention, I immediately repented of it. And because we all three did that in that moment, it was just, we were all broken.
Wow.
Broken free.
Now, I want to go all the way back to the beginning of your testimony.
Okay.
Because I saw Romans 12 and 2 playing out in the room through Holy Spirit. Because, like you were about to say something. You were about to go into these old patterns.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna pause. What we're doing is we're doing it as almost as an exercise, so that the people who are watching can see this is how I get breakthrough. First, you need to know that God. So people need to know that God actually does talk to us, and it's so important to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, because He's always trying to do something to bring glory to Jesus Christ and bring glory to the Father. So Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of the world." So inside of you, admittedly, inside of us all, are some bad patterns.
Yep.
These repeated things that we do that allow the enemy to come in. And you talked about how there were some strongholds in your family about owning things, saying that we've got to be tough, we've always had to be tough, and things like that.
Yeah.
And we talked about how that becomes a welcome mat for the enemy. We talked about how Elijah, the woman built Elijah a room in her house, because she recognized him as a man of God. And that's what we do when we don't break away from the patterns. These destructive, sinful patterns that we don't repent from, if we don't break away from these patterns, we create a room, a space in our lives for the enemy to reign and oppression to us, because we have not repented and released that thing.
Right.
So just before the meeting starts.
To me, this is not about the person that you're going to be talking to or that you think you're going to be talking to. This is about you. and it shined the light back on me. And I immediately, my response is, I haven't done anything. I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, this is about you. And when he said that to me, it's even softened my demeanor before anybody walked in the door, because I thought, oh, well, okay. And I was just quick to just release, you know, maybe some anger or some bitterness or some frustration. I was quick to release that because I was like, oh, okay. What have I done? He didn't tell me right then and there. He waited for everybody to come into the room and then do what he did between the three of us.
Yeah.
But that was the beautiful part of it, was that he made it about me. And he showed me in the areas of my life that I was doing those old patterns and those that thought process. And here I am. You do this every time. This is what we've been through this before. And God's like, what about you?
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah.
You're not sitting here sinless. And by doing that, he revealed the enemy. He exposed the enemy of what he had been doing for so long.
Yeah.
And he did it as all of us have been Christians. That's how long the enemy has reigned in that territory of our family, because we prayed blessings, we prayed certain things, we prayed for breakthrough. It was a revelation moment because he was showing us strategically how to pray and bind this thing that's been going on for a long time. Because I can remember dialogues of my family, in the women in the family, this is our lot in life. This is just, we must have it hard because God knew we were fighters and we're warriors. So that's just the way it's going to be. You know, I can remember even people in my family, we never seem to gain ground in that area. We never seem to get this right. You know, I don't understand. Maybe God's, it was literally for years and years and years where God was like, no more.
Yeah.
No more. Let's recognize what this really is.
Yeah.
And let's get this straight. Say you're sorry. Say you're sorry. Say you're sorry.
Yeah.
When I was waiting for somebody else to say they were sorry to me, he said, you say you're sorry.
Yeah. And I really see that as a moment of sin in your family. You got issues.
Yeah.
Everybody's not saved, and even those who are saved in your family, they're still sinning us, because the Bible says if we say we're without sin that we're liars. So I picture a family quilt is what I picture, and on a family quilt usually there's a little piece of everybody's story in the quilt. And so if the story is bondage, if the family story is bondage, we've got to be willing to own our part. So before family breakthrough can occur, personal breakthrough has to occur.
Okay.
So before you point at sister's pattern on the quilt and say how messed up she is, God exposes your own sin.
Yep.
With your own heart and your own issue, because through our own sin is where the curses and the strongholds of the enemy come in. So it's nobody else's fault about my strongholds.
Right.
I've got victory.
Yeah.
So that was just so powerful
yeah, your personal breakthrough. Because then you start walking differently, talking differently. Your guard isn't up. Again, speaking personally, you're not striking out in anger or frustration. You're now saying, I've taken responsibility here, and mm-hmm. I'm going to say I'm sorry. I'm repenting of this.
Yeah.
And it let everybody's guard down.
Yeah.
And then everyone just, it flowed so beautifully through Holy Spirit, because then it wasn't, I'm standing here pointing a finger at you. I'm saying, I'm just as guilty.
And if my part of the quilt is marred and I've got some things I need that I deal with, now, when I start my new family, all right, I've got the same pattern still.
Mm.
And if I keep the same pattern, yeah, my sinful patterns, and if I don't repent, and if I don't allow the Lord to show me these areas of my life where there's demonic strongholds, then I have the ability to pass on, not pass down, because we know we don't pass down curses.
Mm-hmm.
We pass on these traits. We pass on these characteristics
mm-hmm.
from the new pattern that now my daughter is watching me. I'm the pattern of the family. And that's why it's so important for the husband to really be the true priest of the home and a servant of the Lord, and the mother to also be a servant of the Lord, so that we follow that new pattern. And that's what we're going to get to in closing.
Mm-hmm.
The new pattern is chasing after the likeness of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So not just having the image of a Christian, because you can be a Christian with strongholds.
Absolutely.
You can be a Christian with depression and with all these things. And how does that happen? Number one, through sin, unrepentant sin. And number two, through ignorance. It's just something that you thought that you had to deal with. You just thought it was normal to sit in a dark room for hours at a time because mom used to do it. You conform to mom's pattern, you know, but you need a breakthrough in your life. And Jesus Christ is that breakthrough. So we only got like two passages left. I don't know if you've got any notes that you want to hit on anymore. And we'll do that. But chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. And this is Paul saying to the church, with the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Just their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives them because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. That's the pattern.
Yeah.
That's an evil, wicked pattern
mm-hmm.
that these people have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against God. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But here's the key point. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. So, Jody, that's saying that we've got a new pattern.
Yeah.
That's not what we've learned.
Mm-mm.
Since you have heard about Jesus, you have learned the truth that comes from him. Throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So the Lord is saying that our former pattern of life, our former way of life, is corrupted by lust and deception. So generational curses don't have to pass down. They just pass on.
Right.
Because if grandpa was wicked and didn't know Christ, and nobody comes to Christ in that generation, then all that's passed on is this corruption through lust and deception.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 23 finally says this: instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Those are the new patterns. That's what God brought you last Friday or whatever day it was. He says, no. We're done with that old pattern of the way you used to behave.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do this now,
yeah,
which led to victory.
Right.
And then it says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Jody, do you have anything else to share?
I just want to say that Scripture talks about in Exodus in 20 and 5, you know, it talks about how Old Testament, where it said he would punish the children for the sin of their parents. But if you go on into verse 6, it says, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a promise and a hope that he has blessing for 1,000 generations. That's a long time.
Yes.
The example of that, if you don't mind me sharing quickly, is the sons of Korah,
mm-hmm.
Which were sons of a man named Korah who led a revolt against Moses and Aaron in the Old Testament. And I'm sure some of us have heard this story before where they had to choose. Do you choose God or do you choose this revolt against Moses and Aaron? Stood up and swallowed them, right? But the sons of Korah, the sons of the man that led that revolt, did not stand with their father. They stood with God's people. They stood with God because they knew he was the true and holy God. What is amazing about that is that they went on, those sons went on to be some of the, their lineage, not just them, went on to be some of the greatest worship leaders and musicians that went on into David's temple and Solomon's temple.
Wow.
They were basically, they said they were doorkeepers of the tabernacle. They were brought in to be the musicians as the celebratory parades and things as the Ark of the Covenant was brought in into Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also known, of all the Psalms, they are basically accredited to 11 of those Psalms, including "As the Deer Panteth for the Water." We still sing it today.
Yeah.
So you see their one action of standing with God
mm-hmm.
and not choosing the sins of their father.
Yeah.
Brought blessings for generations,
yes.
multiple generations to this day that we're still sitting in high places and put in their purpose and their call for the things of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I just find that so promising
mm-hmm.
because, you know, some of this talk can be, you know, like, oh gosh, you know, I think that's me or whatever. But God has an answer. Jesus is the answer. But think about the blessings that you're going to bring upon your children and their children
yes.
and their children and
yes.
their children. That's what excites me is
yes.
that because of this breakthrough, my child doesn't have to walk through the same stuff I did before.
Amen.
He doesn't have to, and his children don't. And thinking about that lineage that you're walking in now through Jesus Christ, that sets you apart from that demonic entity, those strongholds, those sins of your father,
yeah.
you no longer have to walk in that anymore, and neither do your children.
Amen. And that's the key from breaking away from the sins of our fathers, is breaking away from the patterns,
yeah.
those wicked patterns. Wicked patterns equal wicked results. And as you talked about passing on the blessings to your son, I was outside with my son Dominic, my youngest son today, and he looked up at the sky and said, I'm going to live with Jesus, you know, in the sky. You know, I'm going to live with him. He's like, and he was saying, like, is now the time? Can I go now? I was like, well, no, not yet, buddy. But that's a blessing that I've passed on to my son to tell him about Jesus.
Yes.
And my father told me about Jesus.
Yeah.
So we just continue to either pass on these blessings or we can pass on curses, but
yeah.
it's through our patterns.
It is.
So the pattern that we need to pass on is the pattern of righteous living,
mm-hmm.
and that's so important.